It may not look like it, but Bloomington Normal is smack dab in the middle of the automated mobility revolution. State Farm, Rivian, and Morton-based Autonomous Stuff are all big players in what many see as the future of driving. All three companies are also founding members of the Illinois Autonomous Vehicles Association. WGLT's Ryan Denham traveled to Chicago to speak with Association Executive Director Jerry Quant about why automation is a lot bigger than just cars that steer themselves.
Autonomous vehicles are a great technology. Automation of mobility is really what the conversation should be about. And let me differentiate the two for you. An autonomous vehicle can drive down the road, and that's what we see today, using sensors on the vehicle to move it down the road safely. It's replicating a human driver with a machine. That's cool. That's great technology, but that's not utilizing the technology to its fullest potential. Automating technology is when that vehicle is nothing more than a node on a mobility network, talking to other vehicles, talking to infrastructure, infrastructure talking to the vehicle, in organized, inter-collaborative, interdependent way, moving things, whether it be people or goods or agriculture, from one point to another. That's automated mobility. And automated mobility to us is truly the future. Autonomous vehicles are a part of that. But a key part of that as well is really building a system of systems around connectivity of all these things. Nobody's working on that piece, right? Why? Because vehicle manufacturers and autonomous vehicle manufacturers are focused on moving vehicles down the road and focused on the technology to do that. And it's telcos, it's telecoms, it's smart city developers. It's a multitude of other players that are involved in that other piece. And again, as we heard today, there's nobody taking a lead in that. That's what our association is doing. We're taking a lead on that and giving Illinois a leg up to have a much more strategic play in the national and international conversation about automated mobility that's going to put us leaps and bounds ahead of every other state in an organized fashion.
5 years from now, where do you want Illinois to be when it comes to connected mobility? What are the things we do not have now that you want to see happen in that shorter term?
Here's the really cool thing is a lot of people don't understand this, but connected, all of the pieces of connected and automated mobility exist here in the state, right? One of the cool parts of it is they don't just exist in the city of Chicago. As a matter of fact, a few of them do, but many of them don't. Most of them are in our outer regions. So let's start with, and I'm not just playing to the audience here, let's start with Peoria. Peoria is the home, in my opinion, of automated technology. We can talk all we want about automated cars and autonomous cars being started at Carnegie Mellon, but the people paying the bills for Carnegie Mellon back in the 70s and 80s was Caterpillar. Right? And that is right in Peoria's backyard and in the Tri-County region's backyard. And because of that, we have a side business that's been built out that's also an internationally known developer of prototypes of this technology, which is Autonomous Stuff. We also have in their backyard in Peoria, or in Bloomington and Normal, State Farm, who's really pioneering a lot of the insurance components and evaluations around what automated mobility is going to be about. And now we have very successfully the development of Rivian and Rivian coming into play. So we have this nice little area downstate that is already playing into that world. Upstate, we have great companies like Navistar, like Boeing, who's been doing communication systems for a long period of time. We've got companies, startup companies, that are happening around here. We've got EZEV with Exelon doing work in the space. We've got Cisco, who heads up a lot of their initiatives out of here. And we've got Bosch. And so the confluence of all of these sort of players really gives us a leg up in owning this overarching space. Right. Not to mention the fact that we have some of the best logistics organizations, and really moving people in an automated way is nothing more different, not drastically different philosophically, from moving goods. And so we have the likes of Coyote and Echo Logistics that are using AI to optimize logistics. And we've always been a center for logistics here in Illinois and in the Midwest. We have all these companies that are doing stuff, but they're not doing it in a cohesive manner. They're doing a lot of these one-off projects. And so What you don't get is the sensibility that we have a concerted effort. And that's what we try to do with our presentation on our website, www.ilavassoc.org. You can find it, and it's the state of CAVs, and it sort of outlines these pockets of programs and areas that are happening, providing a sort of cohesive umbrella over the top of that with all the things that are going on, and showcasing that the talent, intellectual capital, all exists right here in Illinois to own this space.
And one of the pockets you mentioned was the insurance world, and obviously our community, Bloomington Normal, is an insurance town. We've got State Farm and Country Financial. What are the things that they're thinking about in this space at this point?
Yeah, so we've been very fortunate to have State Farm as one of our founding members come on board, seeing the value of building this broader system and approach and being a part of it. We've had great participation as well with Arity, which is a division of Allstate, and engagement with Allstate in regards to this. What's really interesting is when you move it away from autonomous vehicles and start to talk about a system of mobility and a system of interconnectivity, it piques the insurance company's minds a heck of a lot more. Because it starts to get to a place in which insurance companies and their real challenge is, you know, how do we start to create the scenarios for understanding the different coverage realities that are going to occur, A, and B, those being much more dynamic. I mean, there's actual pilots right now in Germany in which they're doing dynamic insurance, right? Because the who's going to be covered? Is it the vehicle? Is it the rider? Is it the company? Is it the system? All those things sort of need to be figured out, and protocols are going to need to be figured out around that when we start to move to more and more automated features. And they want to understand that. But they also know that as we connect the vehicles to infrastructure, there's going to be a lot more information about the situation of the infrastructure. When we talk about building a new roadway or an expressway, we should be putting sensors in that roadway that start to identify, is there ice on it? Is there rain on it? Is it slippery? Is it not slippery? And insurance companies are really interested in that because that sort of new level of information allows them to start to think about what coverage looks like. And in Germany, coverage is they're developing places in which the vehicle itself is covered by the insurance policy. And as the vehicle travels through different areas of town at different times of the day, based on what the situation or standard of the roadway is and all of these other factors, have variable coverage that they then sell in real time. And so that's the sort of level of detail we're going to get at, we're going to get to, and that's where insurance companies are looking, is how do we start to create new coverage scenarios that optimize coverage or limit our risk and optimize coverage and liability for all these things. Again, it's a whole brave new world. And that's where looking not just at the vehicle, looking at all of the factors that are going to be involved is really, I think, a much richer territory that and a long tail that they're looking at.
What is the relationship between Rivian and your association? Are they part of the founding membership? Are they part of the fold? What can you tell me there?
Yeah, so Rivian is 100% part of our founding members. Actually, Jim Thomas, who spoke today, sat on our discovery committee. So it was a committee of people who were really at the forefront of putting the association together over 2 years ago. Just a little under two years ago. Rivian's interest in this is, you know, again, as a manufacturer of a startup that's really looking at innovating mobility, because that's ultimately what they are, took a lead in understanding the value of being a good corporate citizen, not just to the state of Illinois, but very specifically also to Bloomington, Normal, and the Tri-County region. Because they knew they were going to do a really good thing in terms of bringing jobs back, but they also knew they needed to do it in a sustainable way. And to us, that's very exciting. What's really great to me about Rivian, and I'm going to pound Rivian's chest a little bit, is, you know, the fact of the matter is they're not just producing cars, they're producing and creating transformative mobility. I think that's one of the reasons Amazon and Ford have both invested in them, is because they recognize that they're transforming how electric vehicles are going to operate. The skateboard system with individual motors on each wheel, to me, is going to be the most revolutionary things in automotive that we're ever going to see. I don't think people fully grasp the importance of it for a multitude of reasons. One is your turn radius and stability is going to be ridiculous. The vehicle can actually turn on its own in almost a 360 without about a meter on each end because each wheel turns independently. The second is the battery and how the battery is constructed and relays power is the most, probably the most forward-leaning and forward-thinking battery pack for charging vehicles in a sustainable way. They're also reusable and interchangeable, which is a fascinating concept. But more importantly, that's going to be the new chassis and drivetrain for almost every vehicle that comes out in the future. They've reset the standard for what the chassis is. Now it's a question of Ford and Amazon looking to, what do we build on top of it, right? What are the things we build on top of it to create automated mobility that is fleet-based and dynamic enough for every potential user, whether they be handicapped, whether they be wealthy, whether they be middle class, whether they be in a poor, whether they be, that allows OEMs to sort of focus on what sits on top. Yeah. And to me, that's the beautiful thing of longevity is that they're going to be producing those batteries and packs and those chassis along with their initial vehicles, but then also from a sustainable perspective, other vehicles are going to come in and build on those chassis. And guess what? There's going to be capacity at the factory to do that. So the idea of the age-old, this car gets built in this factory, I think is not where Rivian's going. Rivian's going to a world in which we can build multiple vehicles, customized vehicles, unique and differentiated vehicles, all on the same chassis.
I imagine fleet and the commercial applications of automated mobility has got to be like a big part of what you're doing, right? Because if you think about automated mobility, fleets is and trucking is where your mind goes first. I mean, those are the things that they repeat routes. They do things over and over again.
I'd ask each one of your listeners to think of this for a second. How many times do you go to the grocery store every week? How many times do you go to the drugstore every week? How many times do you go to school? Drop your kids off and pick them up, right? People have repetitive movement as well, right? And therein lies why I think we're going to need fleets and why I think fleets and the cost of things are going to be. You know, keep in mind, your largest and fastest depreciating asset you own wherever you live is your car. To me, when people start to understand the economics of that, I don't care if you're in an urban or rural environment, if you have access to mobility in on demand, and I know that there's a time constraint in a rural environment to do that, but think of how many people own a combine that use it for 2% of the livelihood life, 2% of the year they're using the combine. Why aren't those fleets? Why don't we have one combine that runs from farm to farm to farm to farm to farm? And it's automated and it doesn't need a driver, right? Because the farm's already connected. And by the way, those tractors exist, right? Why do we have to own those? Why can't those be fleet-based? So I think mobility is going to move to fleet-based. It's going to be much more cost-effective to do so. So yeah, I think the focus should be on fleet-based and development for the fleet-based future. Does that mean every car is going to go away tomorrow? No. But I think when planning for, we should be planning against the idea that it's all fleet-based.
What are some of the association's big priorities when it comes to policy and government affairs work at both the local government level? So if we think of municipalities like Bloomington or Normal, and then in Springfield. I know on the electric vehicle side, they had a big scare this session with the electric vehicle registration fee. The initial proposed level of like $1,000 came down, obviously, on final passage. But what are the things you're thinking about locally and at a state level from a policy perspective?
By our own bylaws, we're not able to do any lobbying, and we can't register as a lobby. We won't be doing any lobbying. So from a policy standpoint, what we try to do is educate. And so not establish particular policy or recommend any particular policy, but educate. And oftentimes we'll do that through providing very general, broad-scale ideas to give context to the sort of input that we're providing. Because this is a challenging topic. So I'll start with that. What we do for municipalities in terms of policy, though, is we do say and we suggest that begin with a policy idea in mind but then go pilot something and test whether or not that policy holds true before you enact the policy. That, to me, is what's a critical component, because too often we're creating policy and then it stymies innovation, an innovation that could be beneficial on 9 fronts and not one. I'll give you a great example. So the city of Chicago has just piloted this scooter program, right? It's very controversial, and it should be. It's a pilot. It's a pilot that got launched out to the public, and it's going to have, because it's a pilot, it's going to have a lot of negative things, a lot of things that don't work. And you know what? That's fantastic. Anyone that brings me an idea that says it doesn't work, I say, great, call the line and tell the number, send an email, send a text, that this is what doesn't work and why it doesn't work for you. Because they're going to take that feedback and utilize it to craft the right policy for creating a system that does work. And that, to me, is really critical, is too often a lot of people are trying to put policy ahead of innovation, and I think that stymies innovation.
That's Jerry Quant, Executive Director of the Illinois Autonomous Vehicles Association, speaking to WGLT's Ryan Denham. They spoke on the sidelines of an event in Chicago about electrical vehicle charging infrastructure, featuring an executive from Rivian.